The World Trade Organization has postponed a meeting about waiving patent rights for vaccines because of the rise of the Omicron variant. Some want wealthy countries to loosen their grip on the global vaccine supply and make it easier to manufacture doses in the developing world. So just how much is vaccine inequity hindering efforts to combat the pandemic? Ed Silverman has been reporting on this subject for our partners at the health and medicine publication STAT. And Ed, let's start in southern Africa, where this Omicron variant was first discovered. How does the vaccination rate there compare to other countries?
So the problem literally is on the ground. Across the African continent, just 6% of the population has been vaccinated. That compares with 58% in the United States and approximately 70% in Canada. So from the start, there was a tremendous amount of supply that was being purchased and stockpiled in the U.S., European countries, where in contrast, nothing really was getting to the poor countries, particularly Africa.
But then there was this COVAX program, right? Ed, can you refresh us on how that works? This was supposed to funnel vaccines from wealthier countries to developing countries. Based on the figures you're ticking off, it's not working very well on the African continent. So what's the holdup?
Well, last year, in response to this looming problem, the World Health Organization worked with a couple of other entities to create COVAX, which is designed to provide donations to 90 or so low and middle income countries around the world. So you're looking at a situation where the wealthy countries in the world are able to snap up what they can pay for, and poor countries relying on donations that just aren't coming through either quickly enough or in meaningful ways.
So if we step back here, Ed, I mean, as you mentioned, some of these wealthier countries hoarding, stockpiling vaccines, some are arguing the Omicron variant shows that was the wrong approach because leaving large swaths of the world unvaccinated can allow the virus to mutate and spread. But I wonder if it's possible that rich countries will actually reach the opposite conclusion, that Omicron shows they were right to hoard vaccines for booster doses, which are now a key defense against the variant.
Well, the problem with that logic is it belies the underlying truth, which is if a chunk of the world isn't vaccinated in the first place, you're going to have another variant emerge. So it really provides a false sense of security to wealthy nations that can afford to pay whatever they're paying per vaccine dose. It just won't work long enough.
So there's this distribution issue with vaccines, but there's another layer to it too, right, Ed? Because some are calling on the World Trade Organization to step in and just let these poorer countries produce vaccines themselves. How is the WTO responding to those calls? Do you think that's likely to happen?
I think that's unlikely to happen, at least the way it appears right now. South Africa and India a year ago proposed a temporary waiver on intellectual property and know-how. The goal was to let companies in other countries produce COVID vaccines. But right now, the waiver hinges on full agreement at the WTO. You need all 164 member nations to agree. This temporary waiver would make it possible for companies in other countries to retool their facilities, but they can't do that without the vaccine recipes. And those vaccine recipes are intellectual property. They're closely guarded by the vaccine makers. And some of these countries have decided that they're going to oppose this proposal.
But Ed, how much responsibility, though, do those individual companies bear? Right? I mean, there's the policy, but we just saw in the fall, Amnesty International released a very critical report denouncing AstraZeneca, J&J, Moderna, Pfizer, these vaccine makers. They said they were, quote, wheeling and dealing in favor of wealthy states. So should they be doing more, or is it just unreasonable to expect these companies to, you know, act in against their own commercial self-interest?
Well, I started to say some of the countries that are opposing the waiver are home to some of the largest global drug and vaccine makers. And if they can succeed in convincing these countries to oppose the waiver, it won't go forward. And so you've got this very, very complicated, delicate dance going on behind the scenes that's created this enormous tension and this stagnation.
That's Ed Silverman with our partners at STAT News, the health and medicine publication. Ed, thank you.
Thanks for having me.